Well, welcome everyone to another Help and Hope for Families program. His goal is to strengthen and give godly advice and encouragement to marriages and families in the different difficult situations that we face these days. And so I'm Tim Tucker, affiliate staff member with Family Life here in the Pittsburgh area, along with Scott and Catherine Mercer, part of our Pittsburgh Family Life team, and Tom and Pam Jones. Tom's an associate pastor and a licensed Christian counselor, and Pam is a real estate agent in the Pittsburgh area. So welcome back again for another program.
Well, thanks so much
for having
us.
Yes, thank you.
Good to be back. Appreciate you.
Well, we've had two programs already, and now the third program on how gambling can destroy a family, because this is an important issue today, not just because we have a casino here in Pittsburgh necessarily, okay, because there's other sources of gambling too. In fact, when you even turn on MeTV, UpTV, it could be some of this.
A news program.
Yeah, and there's online gambling now, okay, and all these advertisements are hitting you, even between these family programs, okay, type of thing. It's everywhere. So it's just not like you have to go to the casino anymore.
No,
you can do
phone.
It on a computer, on your home phone,
it's on
things
your phone.
Like that.
On your phone.
Right.
So, Scott, give us some more ideas from the Bible, what the Bible has to say to guide us on this area of gambling.
Sure, Tim. Last week we touched very briefly, I did at least, on the topic of the biblical study of the book of Ecclesiastes. And I want to encourage our listeners that's a great book. Read it in the right frame of mind, because it could be potentially discouraging, because everything pointed out in the scripture in that book is considered vanity. In other words, it's not a thing to chase after. It's like chasing after the wind. And there can be a lot of discouraging experiences. The bottom line of that, though, is what is it that we're supposed to chase after? And you'll get to that at the end of that book. But last week I highlighted Ecclesiastes 5:10, and I said this verse reads like, "He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves abundance with its income. This too is vanity." This idea of money and the chasing after it. And there's a verse in Hebrews 13, verse 5, "Keep your life free from love of money. And be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Why is the never leaving you nor forsaking you have anything to do with the love of money? It's because only God, only through Christ, can contentment be had regardless of money. And let's not just say money, it's possessions. It's the personal things. It's the things that present immediate gratification.
Yes.
We're going to chase after them. They're not going to be fulfilling or satisfying. Only Christ is fulfilling and satisfying.
Absolutely.
And there's that verse in Mark 12:31 that says, "Love thy neighbor as thyself." And we know that verse. We probably all know that by heart. But that same Focus on the Family article that you mentioned, Tom, says this, quote, "The truth is that gambling isn't as innocuous as it seems. It's actually predicated on the losses, pain, and suffering of others. For one to win at gambling, others must lose." Mm. And sometimes, of course, the biggest losers are the gambler's closest loved ones, and that's definitely not loving your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
So, Catherine, what else does the Bible say about gambling?
Yeah, thanks, Tim. You know, many want to gamble in order to get rich quick, don't they? You know, you think of the motive behind that. And greed comes into play. Again, from the Bible, in 1 Timothy 6:9-10, the Apostle Paul says, "People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction." Mm. Very careful here. Listen to this part. "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil." We certainly have learned a lot about money in these last few broadcasts and around this table as we've been talking. And you know, think about it. Basically, gambling is stealing from your family's resources or others. One of the Ten Commandments, also in the Bible, "Thou shalt not steal, for it is a sin against others and hurts them deeply." The Bible warns us against the sin of coveting or lusting after what is not ours. And it also reminds us to be content with what we have.
Lusting after what is not ours.
Mm-hmm.
That goes into addictions, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the word lust is into that. And you had mentioned on last week's broadcast, we talked about what's in Las Vegas, but synonymous with this gambling is this idea of pornography too.
Absolutely,
right? Man, what a dangerous cocktail mix, no pun intended, to be in a place where that's prevalent.
There's a reason why Las Vegas is known as the Sin City.
Sin City. City.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Isn't that true?
Yeah. Well,
you had mentioned about people. There's no balconies in all these hotels because people might consider suicide after losing all of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in our conversation earlier today, too, we were talking about, there's no windows typically in a casino. They don't want you knowing what hour it is. Mm-hmm. As you while away the hours, it's easy to do. You had mentioned about pumping in oxygen to kind of keep
you alert.
Yeah. Be alert and going.
Keep you there. Keep you spending.
They got it all figured out, don't they?
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
Well, Pam, if a husband is the gambler in the family, what can a wife do to protect the family's finances against loss?
Well, as we've talked about, I think we touched on this. It can be the wife. It's not always the husband. Mm-hmm. But I think that person, first of all, has to be held accountable in some form. Online gambling is a little hard, so there might need to be some controls on the computers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe the wife or the husband, whichever case, needs to be the one handling the checkbook.
What if the person doesn't want to be discovered? Nope. What if, so you know there's an issue, they're in denial.
Right.
What do you do?
Mm. That's difficult.
Yeah.
That's difficult because it does take both people working together. Mm. And I think you said you know that there's an issue.
Well, in your own personal experience, and I know that you and Tom have not dealt with gambling, but you've dealt with other addictions and you've had to handle it a certain way. What did you do? How did you manage that? Because you knew he was in trouble.
First of all, pray that God would give you the grace to handle it in the way that you should. But then set boundaries. It has to be like you have to get help.
Did you set boundaries on yourself or did you set boundaries on Tom? Or what did that look like?
Both.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think in talking today about our issue with gambling, I think we just need to know when we have to get help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, perhaps the boundaries aren't going well in our own home. And so we're going to that safe third party. Whether it is a pastoral couple, whether in this case it's a safe financial person where we say, I don't want to punish my spouse, but I do want to set up boundaries for our finances so all of a sudden we don't find ourselves in a really deep hole.
That's a good idea. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, my dad, he was in denial when we talked about alcohol. I had a car drive with him sitting in the passenger seat. And he wanted me to go to the drugstore and buy, or the liquor store rather, and buy. He wanted to get out of the car and buy.
Mm.
And I just was like, I was driving. Thank you, Lord, that I was driving.
Right.
But he was in denial. He said, I'm not an alcoholic. But he had a real problem and an issue. And here's where I'm saying to family members that know that there's a person in trouble and that person's not willing to admit it, how do we, as on the sidelines, how do we arrange ourselves to deal with that? What and I know you said set boundaries. How do you intervene? I feel like there may be somebody listening who's saying, I'm in this situation. What do I do? Mm-hmm. Tom, do you have any advice for me?
Well, as long as a person's in denial, that's hard. It until a person realizes they need help. And I think sometimes it may take the whole family sitting down and saying, look, there's a problem here. This is not just me seeing this. This is our whole family seeing this. And so we're willing to walk through this with you, but you have to take some steps. And so bringing that person to a point of decision, that doesn't mean that they're going to go the direction we want them to go.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we're helping them move in that direction.
It sounds like what you're saying is bring this into the light.
Absolutely.
Don't kind of keep it in the dark, right?
Absolutely.
As many addictions are in the dark.
Sure.
Yes.
You're saying confront and converse.
Absolutely.
Conversation about it. Don't let that person who's in denial just escape and go away and just pine away with what am I going to do, right?
Right.
And if you love that person, you want to fight for them. You want to go to bat and say, I love you. I'd do anything for you. But if you don't get help, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
Because it takes both.
Quite frankly, is what it took from Pam for me to reach that point.
Yeah.
I knew that my addiction was wrong. I knew those things were happening, but I still dealt with it. And I think the bottom line for the gambler is that he or she understand the need for Jesus in their life to free them from this addiction, confess their sin to God, turning away from sin, and following Jesus and what He wants for His for that He wants in their life. They must come to the point in their life where they believe Jesus died for the sin on the cross and rose again from the dead to prove He has the power to save them from the hell and the addictions that enslave them. Now, I say when your why becomes so much bigger than your why not, that you're willing to say whatever it takes, at that point your life can change.
I'm so thankful, Tom, that you have personally, I'm not thankful you've experienced the depravity of this, but the beauty that you're able to speak to people about. Yeah. If a person's saying, I need help, I need to talk to somebody, you're a professional counselor. How do they get a hold of you?
Well, I can be reached through Keystone Christian Counseling and Life Coaching at 724-672-3670, or they can reach me by email. I can be reached by email at tj1162@gmail.com.
Folks, this is not a hollow request. If you're out there and you're struggling, please reach out
and talk with
someone. And Tom is making himself available for that. So,
and Catherine, Something for Marriages that would help marriages with their difficulties, with the issues that they need to have faced today. Tell us about the Weekend to Remember coming
up. Yes, Weekend to Remember coming to Cranberry Township here at the Pittsburgh Marriott North, September 23rd through 25th, is a 2.5-day getaway to focus on your marriage. And, you know, folks, you may not be married yet. Maybe you're engaged, considering marriage, maybe you're remarried, maybe you're a pastoral couple, and you would love a scholarship to invest in the ministry time that you have given to so many people. We've got some wonderful speakers with biblical principles.
Great resources there.
FamilyLife.com, get on that website. Go to the Weekend to Remember and put in the group name Weekend Together, and you'll save $100 off the price.
And if you have any questions about the resources that Family Life has to offer, you can give me a call at 412-337-3858 and check out our website at familylife.com for a number of resources, and also download the app, which has a tremendous amount of material that will be helpful for any questions you have related to the family. For marriages, whatever it might be, raising kids, it's there.
Please,
thanks for joining
out.
Us tonight.
Please reach out to us. Don't stay closed.
And we'll see you next week on Help and Hope for Families.